Good morning. I enjoyed hearing Noah's comments. We always used to tell the Sunday school teachers, don't believe everything the children tell you about us, and we won't believe everything they tell us about you. I remember back in the day when Nicole was, I don't know, probably about Noah's size, a little older than Noah, but they asked her to pray in front of the church when they had all the kids come for Sunday school. And she prayed very nicely. Nicole's very careful, but her prayer was that her parents wouldn't beat her with sticks. And so people were wondering, where did that come from? And on the way to church, we were having one of those Sunday mornings. I know you don't ever have those, where you're trying to get everybody in the car and everybody in the same place. And I was saying, if you guys don't sit still back there, I'm going to beat you with a stick. And so she prayed that I wouldn't do that. So I love hearing how your houses are doing from the children, because they speak the truth. Yeah. And I have to... Are you going to Sunday school? Okay, good. I was hoping she was not going to be here this morning because she told me she was in the class. So I have to make this announcement, and I didn't want her piercing eyes. I'm following a different Advent calendar than the church this morning, because I'm speaking on the joy of the Lord, and it's supposed to be the peace of God. So I came in this morning, and the first thing Brad said to me, okay, so this morning the theme is peace, and I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. I am speaking on joy, and next week I'm speaking on peace. So this is just a prelude to what peace, you heard about the message of the candle of peace and the Prince of Peace, and the kids spoke about peace. So I believe we've had a good message about peace. And so now we need a little bit more joy in the house. Is that okay? Will you forgive me? I've never made a mistake before. One time I thought I did, but I was wrong. And so today, I have to apologize. So forgive me, my sweetheart over there. Just give me joy this morning. The reason I'm not changing this is you don't know how hard it was and how much I had to wrestle for the last week or so more on joy. And I was saying, why did this fall on me? Why? Like, the joy of the Lord is my strength, yes, and I'll get there. But it's not something that just floods out of my soul. I love children. I love my grandchildren. They just live like wild people. And I don't know how many times a day children laugh. I've heard all the, I should have got the exact numbers, but as you get older, we tend to rejoice. We tend to laugh much less per day. Is that true? Okay, I'm just checking. I don't know. I think it's because life is serious. Stuff happens. Reality kicks in. And so, when I talk about joy this morning, there has to be I called it our secret power, our secret superpower. It has to be the joy of the Lord. It has, you know, Nehemiah, and I'm going to end there, where he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength, is our strength. And it has to be, like so many times in life, if you look at our lives, there's not a lot of reason to just be shouting and rejoicing and doing what the Bible says to do. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. It's like the challenge, the command is there. And sometimes we have to work on it. And so I was wrestling with that. Like, what? And I've preached many, many sermons on joy, and I could go back and I could repeat them, and I could tell you, you know, it's the water level under my house. Like, a couple of years ago, I talked about that there's a high water table that flows under my house, and our old house, and kept it humid. And a Christian's life has this high water table of joy that's undergirding, overriding. It's there in our life. But how do I speak about joy? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Like, how are you doing in your joy? with your joy life? Do you sing and dance? Is your home filled with dancing? Is your home filled with singing? Be honest. And it's okay if you're wrestling, and there's seasons when there's joy. There's seasons when, you know, like I said, when you're with kids and they're just, it's just bubbling. We have our daughter's kids, they're on a baby moon today. All our kids deserted us. What a bunch of kids we got. Pete and Mel are in South Africa for Christmas and with his father and family. And Nicole and Brad are on a baby moon. So we had the grandkids this week, and I just listened to the noise level just rise. We live like in a senior's home, Lori and I, very quiet, very peaceful. And then you throw in three or five grandkids, and you can imagine, it changes. But there's something about the expectation. Like, so let me get started here. Last week, Pete talked about hope, and it's that expecting, it's that waiting, it's a confident expectation of good. You have hope. You have this belief that good is coming, that there's something there. And so when I was thinking of joy, you know, joy has got to be kind of like the faith dancing. Faith is hope, expecting and waiting, you know, the evidence of things unseen and so on, then faith is joy dancing, or joy is faith dancing. Faith is coming alive. There's anticipation. There's hope, and then there's joy in it. There's this feeling that, man, something good is about to happen. Something good is on its way. And it's not something you can just suck out of nothing. You know, we are told, be still my soul, you know, rejoice in the Lord. We need to speak to ourselves, but it comes, and I'm going to get to my sermon in a minute, it comes from this knowledge of God and this understanding of who God is and what God is doing in our life. Are the old evangelists, if you know anything about the old evangelists, R.W., you know, Moore used to come to Brightwood Youth Ranch 100 years ago, and I still remember his lines because I use them all the time. But he said, you know, I'm never down. But he said it with like a Texan. I'm never down. I'm always up. I'm either up or I's a getting up, but I'm never down. I may look like I'm down, but I's a just a getting up. And I'm like, okay, I may look like I'm down, Brad, but I'm getting up. Hallelujah. And I'm like, there's truth to that. There's actually good theology in that we need to speak to our soul. We need to speak to the world around us. We need to challenge the circumstances and say, you know what? I'm not overcome by you. I'm not going to just listen to the voice and to the pressure and to what's happening right now. I'm going to hear what God is saying. I'm going to have hope. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have love. That's what this whole Advent season is about. And we are told to rejoice. We're told to sing. We're told to celebrate. And I appreciate your song this morning, Rachel, just about the joy. And I was, maybe we'll end with it. I don't know. I'd leave it up to you. But it's like, man, God stirred joy this morning in our lives. So let's look at the first. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I don't know if you have it or if I put it on a slide. There it is. For therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. But how do we do that? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. May God bless his word this morning. Because for me, there's a secret in there of getting some joy. Out of what it says about Jesus is that he endured the cross. He faced the reality. I can't even imagine the cross because of the joy that was set before him. So what's the joy that was before him? What was put there? What was he looking forward to? And the only answer for me that I can read and find is that the joy that was set before him, the joy that he was looking to, is the salvation of you and me. Was the salvation that he was going to see provided between the Father and himself and you and I who were lost. Amen? That's a good place to say amen. Amen. That's the joy that was set before him. That he knew what this sacrifice, this pressure, this death on a cross, the hatred of the world, the sins of the world being laid on him, the joy that was prepared for him was to know that salvation was for you and me. And so my first point is joy has to be looking forward. It cannot just be looking at the circumstance. There's a forward look. It's anticipating. It's like hope. It's waiting for something that is to come. And the joy that you and I have, what's the joy that we have to look forward to? Well, we're going to be with Jesus one day. Amen? Like, we don't talk enough about heaven, I don't think, in our homes and in our lives in general. We could talk about hell. You know, our old pastor, and way back in Elam, back in the days, about 2 centuries ago, it feels like, he used to say, I got saved because the preacher scared the hell out of me. And it's good to scare the hell out of people. We used to do the drama, Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And if you've ever seen it or heard about it, we had teams all over Africa, and I could tell you stories, and I probably have told you too many stories. But part of that drama was teaching people how to go to hell. And you don't go quietly to hell. You don't just let the demons drag you quietly into hell. No, we had to train them to fight and make it look like you're fighting, but allow these poor two, usually it was two little girls, or because we wanted small little demons, and don't fight them too hard, but don't just walk into hell. And after about 5 years of teaching people how to go to hell, I was like, I don't want to go there. But the joy set before us is heaven. And our lives are supposed to be an example. If you and I, you know, you were on his mind. I should write a song about that. When he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. That's the joy that was set before him. You are his joy. You are his prize. You are his crown. You are the fruit of his salvation that he provided. Hallelujah. And I hope this morning you realize that, and I hope we don't just overlook that amazing gift of salvation because of our circumstances and because of the situation we're in. But we have this joy in God, knowing that one day we're going to be with him, but also what gives us joy right now, like Jesus, the joy that's set before us is before us, it's there. But what is it? It's heaven. But it's also knowing that our lives impact other people. We can impact people this season with the joy of God, with the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we can make a difference in our family situations. And we can do that in the middle of trial. And we can do that in the looking to a cross and expecting this challenge that we're facing. And we can face it with joy, and we can tell our souls to rejoice because we know it's for a purpose. We know God is working through our lives. We know God is taking us somewhere. We know that we have a promise to go to heaven one day with Jesus. But on the way there, we're going to take as many people as we can with us. The joy that's set before you and before me is waiting for us. It's there. There's a forward look to it, a futuristic look. I think that's why kids have so much joy. I don't know, you talk to our grandkids, sorry for using them as examples again, but you talk to them about Christmas, they are getting worked up. Talk about their birthdays. Like, I don't want to talk about my birthday. It's August 20th, by the way, just in case. But it's not like, you know, how old are you? And you ask them, well, I'm 6 3/4. You lose that when you get older. You try to cut off a few years. You're not anticipating that next birthday. It's like they live in this expectation, this anticipation of something coming. And I got saved in that era in 1974 when all the messages, every message was about Jesus Christ is coming back. Everywhere. That was the message. The movies, you know, the whatever that movie was called where the lawnmowers are going, grrr, and then they're gone. You know, it's like we just lived with this feeling like church isn't even going to get over and we're going to be out of here because Jesus is coming back. And we lived in that anticipation of heaven, of expecting God to show up anytime. What's the opposite of joy? It's mourning. It's sorrow. Amen? Amen. The Bible says that mourning, sorrow and mourning shall flee away. He gives us the oil of joy for mourning. Hallelujah. But if you think about sorrow and mourning, this is for free. For me, it's always looking back. It's remembering the pain. It's remembering the loss. It's remembering the hurt. It's remembering what happened. It's remembering, and you live in this sense of sorrow and mourning. It's not all wrong. We need to grieve. We need to have sorrow and mourning. We need to learn from the past. We can't just ignore what's happened in our life. And nobody ever says, just pretend it didn't happen. Pretend that evil never hit your life or you never went. We don't have to live this fake life. But mourning and sorrow is looking back and kind of dragging the past into your day. Joy is looking ahead and taking a hold of something and pulling it into today and say, you know what? I'm going to believe what God says. I'm going to believe that God has a purpose for this. I believe that God's taking me somewhere. I believe that God is working through my life. That is for something good, and all things work together for good. Not all things are good, but all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. And I'm in God's purpose. And I'm going to live it, and I'm going to believe it. And though it's like, I may look like I'm down, but I'm just getting up. Because I believe what God has said. And I believe that He's got a plan and a future and a hope for me that it's going to be amazing. And we got to go back to being a little bit more childlike and saying, you know, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to see how God's going to fix this. I can't wait to see the answer to this. It's expecting. It's waiting. It's anticipating that which is set before us, the joy that is laid out for us. And sometimes we can't see it. I get it. I'm talking to myself this morning. He's like, I said it at one of our meetings this week with some leaders. Like, it takes a lot to get me very excited. And as I get older, I'm like, God, I don't want to just live this grumpy. You know, my grandson Silas, he calls me grumpy grandpa. little rascals. How dare they call me that? Victoria, I don't even know if I should tell you what she calls me. You are a wrinkly old vulture. That's what I get for trying to be nice. Why are you guys laughing? You should be praying for me. We mourn and we have sorrow. And I've said this many times before, and I'll say it again. Mourn the losses. Mourn the losses. Whatever they are. You know, getting old. There's lots of times when I have got to mourn the loss. You know, what should I got to watch what I say here. But it's like, I'll use the example that's easy to use. You know, I used to think I'm going to change the world. And now at my age, well, maybe I can change my office around. Is that okay? You know, maybe you're 40 and you're thinking, this isn't where I thought I'd be at 40. It's okay. Mourn the loss and then move on. move into what's the future. What has God got for me? And I take hope in all the prophetic words. The best is yet to come. You know, I know guys sometimes are just trying to be encouraging and positive, but that's okay. It's like there's a world out there to live and do and be and seek God and see Him move. And I take courage from all the old guys. And you've heard all the testimonies at 70 and 80. It's when they started KFC and they did all these amazing things and changed, you know. Look at the presidents of the United States. Man, I got to wait 20 years before I can be the president of the United States. I'm too young. But just there's looking forward. So yeah, there's stuff that I expect this. Did I anticipate these things? No. But what has God got in store? What is God waiting to do for me and through my life and in my life? And I'm going to live in that place. And that is the joy that is set before us, is what has God got for me ahead? And I'm going to trust God for it. Number two, joy is a fruit. This one, pretty straightforward. Galatians 5 talks about joy being a fruit. Something about the joy of the Lord that is outside of the circumstances, whether I got what I wanted or I'm seeing everything that I expected, but there's the joy of the Lord as a fruit that's outside of that, outside of my circumstance. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. The joy of the Lord is first of all a fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God in us producing a fruit. For, excuse me, like an orange tree, it doesn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to try to make some oranges today. Oranges just come from an orange tree. Is that okay? Like the tree is known by its fruit. It's there. It comes out as a inside-out response of what is in it, the DNA, the way it was created, who it is. And as a Christian, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's something that it's hard to explain to people. And I'll use the example again of some of my senior friends here. I love it when I see, and not only senior, like, man, there's examples sitting right here today, of people who have gone through real trials, lost a loved one, faced an issue, death itself, sickness, challenges, marriage. I could go on and on. And yet there's this sweetness about their life. There is a joy in their life that the world can't take away. Didn't give and it didn't take it away. Another song I should write. It's beyond that. It's the Holy Spirit powering, empowering, equipping us with this superpower of joy that changes the way we speak and that changes the way we live our lives. And yeah, we have sorrow, but as my old friend Gordon Weeb used to say, there's a sweet sorrow. There's a sweet sorrow when you talk to someone who's walking with Christ for years and gone through a health battle or gone through the loss of a spouse or gone through a pain, stuff that I pray I never face, and you see a softness around their eyes, and there's a trust in God when they speak, and there's something deep inside that's not made up. It's the joy of God in their life. It's the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah talks about the oil of joy for sorrow and sadness. He talks about with joy you will take water from the wells of salvation. Amen? He's explaining some deep stuff there. I've been enjoying reading the book of Isaiah. And we quoted him this morning about a son that is given. And what that means to us, that there is this way beyond how I feel today, way beyond what the weather is, way beyond where my finances are at, way beyond. And I'm not that old, amen? But as you get older, the reality sets in of where your life is at. What's the next 10 years, 20 years? When you're 20, you think of 60 years. When you're 70, you think of 10 or 15 years. You don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. But it's like, what is it that God's planning and purposing for me to do? And I want to live that out, and I want to live it with passion. I don't want to be grumpy grandpa. You know, there's just children. They don't understand things. They say things. They don't know what they're saying sometimes. Don't believe everything they say about me, and I won't believe everything they say about you. It's how it is. But joy, we're told, you know, joy is a decision to believe what God says. Joy is a decision to believe who God is. And joy is a decision to believe what God will do. It's a choice that I make by the grace, the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, to rejoice always. Do you rejoice always? Do you? Do you have an undergirding, overriding joy of the Lord that's the meter of your life that kind of sets the tone of who you are? If not, then we need to ask God to give that fruit more and more, to push down the flesh, to push down the thinking, to push down what the world's throwing at us, and to say, I'm going to believe what God says. I'm going to believe who God is and what He's going to do. That's what's going to give me joy in my life. Number three, biblical joy is our strength. It's our superpower. Coming back to that, I want to end where I started, but Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible verse, the joy of the Lord is my strength, is found in Nehemiah. And Nehemiah exhorts the people of Israel to celebrate and to rejoice in the Lord, for it is through His joy that they find strength. So it's not because you have strength, you rejoice. He says rejoice because it's our strength. That's our superpower. We rejoice, we celebrate, we are glad because of who God is, what He's done, who He is, what He said, not because of the circumstances around us. And we can trust Him that He's got some good coming. And I don't know exactly why this is going on right now or why I'm in this circumstance, but man, do I look forward to what God has planned. And Nehemiah challenges Israel and says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Go read the chapters. Go read the verses around it. They were challenged. They were facing challenges. And he says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he encourages them to keep that and to fight for that. Psalm 98, verse 4 to 6 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and with the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. I often say the power of God is so evident when I see older believers have been through so much, and yet they're walking and living with joy. When I read a verse like Psalm 98, I don't know what goes by your phone sometimes, but I mean, there's no end of nonsense and everything. But sometimes there's these church memes. Some of the rascals, I think they are going to hell for what they say sometimes. But some of them are so good. And I love these ones where the pastor's talking about something. I'm not advocating for this. So just take it easy. But I mean, I saw one, he's talking about the joy, and he says something, and I mean, these guys are breaking out and dancing. They are jumping on the pulpit. They are running. People stand up in the audience, and they start. Have you seen some of those? I mean, they're wild. They're crazy. I wish we had a little bit of that. I don't want too much. But I think we could stir up a little bit more of the rejoicing in the Lord. in our lives. Amen? You know, I'm glad for Cornell. She's in the in Fiji. Russell's in, and Helen are in Fiji. Pete and Mel are in Pretoria. I'm so glad for them. I'm so glad it's 32 above right now in Pretoria, and they're swimming in the pool by their grandparents' house. I'm rejoicing in that. But as we sit here in Alberta, you heard those kids. They're you know why they like Christmas? Because they're going on holidays. Kids are honest, at least. They all want presents. I didn't hear too much about baby Jesus being born, but they're just being honest. We're kind of like that. But it's like we have got to stir up some joy in our lives. And as Brad said it earlier, you know, you want some joy, it's better to give than to receive. You know, I was going to go back to that joy, you know, Jesus, others, you thing, but like maybe I will. Maybe I'm there. But if you want to stir up some joy in your life and you're not feeling it this season, then I challenge you to bring joy to someone else. Make a plan to bring joy to someone else who probably could never repay you. And it doesn't have to be money. It can be money. Money is a good thing. But it can be just visit. It can be a meal. It can be meeting a need. It can be just something that gets it off of us and say, okay, Jesus, I'm looking for joy in my life. I'm looking for the blessing of God in my life. What is it I can do that would bless someone else? And I'm telling you, I promise you, the Bible's true that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And if you and I, if we will put effort into that, put effort into touching someone's life, put effort into meeting a need, to changing someone's circumstance, I'm telling you, it brings joy to yourself. And it brings life to us. And Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need to start using that strength. We need to exercise that strength. We need to seek it. We need to ask for it. We need to walk in it, live in it, sing for it, pray for it, ask for it, live it. Whatever brings it out in your life and my life. There's so many verses that I was going after and reading, and Psalm 40 says, 40 verse 16 says, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. We should be, as Pete said last week, not just optimistic, we should be optimistic, but we should be hope-filled, joy-filled, peace-filled, love-filled people because of what Jesus did. You say, how do I get it? Pray. Bring joy to someone else. Growing up, I didn't like waiting for Christmas Day. I still don't like it. I get cold sores whenever we got to wait for something. Just driving Mel and Pete to the airport, and they're so relaxed, and so I'm like, I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm not enjoying this relaxation. I'm a little more, not much, just a little bit. I'm like, we're driving to Calgary because they're flying from Calgary, and they have to be there at 3, I think the flight is at 3:20 or something. So they're supposed to be there at least 2 hours ahead. They say 3, but 2 is good. And so about, I don't even know what time, I'm still waiting for them. Oh, the baby needs to be fed and this and that. And I'm starting to get cold sores already and just waiting. And they are just chilling and relaxing. And then we get to Red Deer. Let's have a coffee and feed the baby again. And I'm starting to get... And then, you know, the windshield wipers are not working that so good. So maybe I should stop at Princess Auto and get some new windshield wipers and put them on. And I'm just... So we... dropped them at the airport about 2:20, I don't know. They got on the plane, they flew, they're all happy. And I'm just like, I can't do this. I'm too old for this. Do you have joy this morning? Are you living with anxiousness? Are you living with sorrow? Are you living with stress? Somehow we got to find that peace with God. Somehow we got to find our hope again. Somehow we have to have faith to just dance on the grave. And that's a good time for one of you to start running and getting on the pulpit here this morning, but rejoicing. Okay, I thought he was coming. He's dancing back there. You can't see. He just needed more space. So as we close this morning, I'm sticking to my theme of joy. Forget about peace. We'll have peace another day. Are you rejoicing today? And if you're not, that's okay. But we're going to fight for it. We're going to ask God for it. And I can't make it, but man, can I ever stir up myself and say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to sing until joy comes. I'm going to believe that this season I can be a provider of joy. I can use joy as my strength this season. So I'm going to ask the band to come, and you guys can sing how you want, and Brad, you can close the service this morning. But this season of Christmas, let it be a season of hope. Let it be a season of joy in your life and in my life. And if you need prayer, if you need encouragement, need strength, you need that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You say, well, I don't got a lot of strength. Well, this morning, we're going to ask for it. We're going to pray for it. Is that okay? Yeah. So let's just stand together. We're going to close. Brad, please come.